News Talk Breakfast. In association with AIR. Seamless connections with Ireland's number one broadband provider.
Now, from today, children who are a COVID-19 close contact in primary school will no longer be required to restrict their movements if they don't have symptoms. Automatic contact tracing for all close contacts in childcare facilities and primary education will also be discontinued. For more on this, we're joined by the HSE Chief Executive Officer, Paul Reid. Paul, thanks indeed for talking to us. Just talk us through those changes that are happening today.
Good morning, Shane. Morning. Yeah, I do appreciate it. Significant changes for schools, again, getting adjusted, making more adjustments in terms of testing, contact tracing. So from today, children from 3 months up to 13 years of age will no longer need to isolate or go for contact testing if they've been identified as a close contact in the school setting. It does still apply if there are symptomatic, so that's if they're asymptomatic, if they're symptomatic close contacts, they will go forward for testing. So I fully appreciate heading into this COVID and all the changes we all had to make in our lives, particularly in schools and school children and parents and principals and teachers. You know, it is a different phase we're in now. We're in a phase now where we're moving towards, I guess, a transitionary phase. It's not eradication of the virus by any stretch. But it is a different phase.
Some experts, I'm sure you've heard them, we've had them on the show ourselves, saying this is too soon. It's the wrong decision. It's premature.
Yeah, and fully respect all those views. I mean, the one good thing about Ireland and our response to COVID is there's been many expert people giving their views throughout. And, you know, these things are never binary. But from our perspective, the health service, what we do have to do is take decisions based on the balance of the risks presented to us. And on the balance of the risks presented to us, what we are seeing is much lower levels of transmission in schools. It was around 15-16%, now less than 5%. But more importantly, children not predominantly becoming sick or indeed for the transmission outside of the school setting. So, you know, the balance of risk for us is that having, you know, significant numbers of children, sometimes between 10 and 12,000, out of school, missing out on major elements of their educational, social well-being generally is much higher risk.
So when ISAG, the zero COVID years, say we don't have evidence that case numbers are dropping in school, you say we actually do have that evidence?
Yeah, I think there's two pieces of evidence that we would have moved forward on this decision based on. Firstly, the transmission levels in school being much lower than they are in the community. So, for example, in the household setting, you know, children can be up to 25-30% positivity levels, but in the school, a much lower, as I said, just about 5%. But equally, the numbers of infected children then within the school settings are relatively low. So, you know, that's the kind of evidence that we are seeing. We've been monitoring for it since the schools have returned. And as I do mention, you know, that's what we have to weigh up on the balance of risks that we're seeing.
Okay. The more general standing down of routine testing and tracing for close contacts, I think, is it October 22nd? I think the date that's going to kick in. Again, just talk us through the reasoning behind that. Some people will say that's too soon. And I know this is a decision made by NPHET, not by the HSE in particular, but I'm just curious your take on it.
Yeah, and in fairness, we will monitor it all the way up to that phase. What we are looking at and planning for is what I'd call a transitionary phase, where you have heard many experts talking about moving from pandemic management to an endemic and what that looks like differently. So what we are seeing is a kind of moving from measurement of infections and the number of infections to move into how we monitor sickness in our communities, as happens with many other infectious diseases. So from a health perspective, it is looking to assess symptomatic people and identify symptomatic people, obviously. We will continue to test for outbreaks and continue to do kind of general surveillance of what we're seeing. But it is moving from a kind of infection measurement to clinical assessment of sickness in the community. And part of that transition is to ensure that we do and give the full weight to non-COVID health services as well. So, you know, that's a big issue for us overall in society.
The time is right to do it, basically.
Yeah, well, you know, we've monitored this. One thing we know about COVID throughout the past 18 months is we can make certain judgments based on a certain point in time. You know, and many of those people who are arguing maybe not this right now, you know, we have to listen to that. But on the balance of all the evidence we do have now, on the balance of risks, we feel decisions made right now are right for this point in time. But we will always be monitoring this as we move forward.
Okay, I think COVID has made fools of all of us at some point or other. Just a couple of things before I let you go, Paul. Can I ask you, Fionnán Sheehan writing in the Irish Independent this morning about the consultants in those negotiations digging in over defending their right to treat private patients. Now, I know, again, these negotiations, I think I'm right in saying, are directly between the consultants and the Department of Health. But it would strike me, if a deal can't be done on this, Sláintecare is in real trouble. This is a fundamental tenet of Sláintecare, that you have public consultants treating public patients.
Yeah, and the HSE are actually involved in those discussions as well. And there's no doubt, you know, one of the core tenets of Sláintecare was public care in public hospitals, and that was one aspect of it. I mean, I won't get into the detailed discussions because I want to respect that they're still ongoing at this point in time, but certainly it is about strengthening public care and public hospitals. Now, there's no doubt, the reality of it is here in Ireland, we have a public health system and we also have a private health system. And the one good thing I've seen throughout COVID the past 18 months and related to Sláintecare was the public and private health systems. In fact, the health system overall working strongly together, public and private, GPs, pharmacies, and our health system overall, a much more coherent voice and a much more coherent response. So, you know, private health systems are part of health systems in Ireland and we should respect it, but we really need to strengthen our public capacity too.
Yeah, but I suppose the question is, can consultants credibly continue to ride two horses? And if they do seek to do that, is Sláintecare dead in the water already?
Well, I think the reality for Sláintecare is, if you look back at the past 18 months, significant elements and major elements of reform of Sláintecare, there's probably a couple of categories of Sláintecare. There were certainly, as you just referenced, some of the big policy issues around universal healthcare, 3GB access, elective-only hospitals, public care in public hospitals. But there were also major and significant operational changes about bringing healthcare into the community. And we've made major advances throughout COVID that we want to strengthen and embed now. So more integrated teams, community health networks, community intervention teams, GPs having access to diagnostics, the National Ambulance Service playing a very new role in the community. More focus on older people and older care outside of the hospital.
I know, look, there's great. Look, there's clearly great stuff going on, Paul. And I know you don't want to get into the nitty-gritty of negotiations, but I presume it remains key from your side of negotiations that you do have public consultants for public care.
Oh, yeah, and it's government policy, and that's what we're implementing, and that's what the discussions are ongoing at the moment. Yeah.
Fair enough. I think as well you're due to meet, you and the Department of Health Secretary General Robert Watt are due to meet the Sláintecare Implementation Advisory Council later today. You can correct me if I'm wrong. What are you hoping will come out of that? Because obviously some of those council members are quite concerned about the recent resignation from the council of Laura McGatty and Professor Keane.
Yeah, we're just finalising the time and date, but it's probably mid this week, just based on people's availability. But we've been asked to meet with the members of the advisory committee. I was previously a member of myself of the Sláintecare Implementation Advisory Committee prior to this role. I'm happy to meet and discuss during this week. What certainly from my perspective, I'm saying what I have said very publicly. The HSE's determination to drive true change. I know, we have very significant reforms that we have to implement in the health service. It's very significant challenges. We don't have an aligned regional structure. We have very significant waiting lists. But having said all that, people should take great confidence from the responsiveness of the health system over the past 18 months and its capacity to drive change. So certainly I'll be saying what I've been saying very publicly is that. And sometimes it can be an easy bashing of the health service just to say, too big, not up for reform. It's simply not true.
Yeah, well, look, I'm old enough to remember the health boards, and that didn't work out particularly well, I thought. Anyway, just before I let you go, one last story that I think caught a lot of people, or will catch a lot of people's attention, those pop-up vaccination centres that are happening in third level. And there's some suggestion that the younger you are, the more reluctant you are to get a vaccine. Are you concerned about vaccine take-up among the kind of younger cohort?
No, just a few points there very briefly. First of all, the uptake in Ireland has been phenomenal across all age groups, and including younger people. What we are doing now, you know, if you take it, there's a smaller percentage of the population in general who haven't been vaccinated. We're looking at every avenue to reach remaining. So colleges give us a great opportunity now. There are 11 pop-up centres, 20 locations across the country in total, where people in colleges now can, if they haven't been vaccinated, take up the vaccination. But it is all about a continued focus on the remaining elements of the population. But ultimately, if you look at the uptake in Ireland, leading in Europe and one of the leading countries in the world. So it's about a continued process to capture and not leave anybody behind.
Okay, Paul Reid, HSE Chief Executive Officer. Thanks for talking to News Talk Breakfast this morning.